Welcome back to a new episode of Think RBA. Guys, you know that trip to Cancun 2 weeks ago was great.
Is that what that was?
I thought he was sick.
That's what I heard.
I was waiting for a doctor's note.
COVID, you know, Cancun, it's the same thing. Listen.
Can't do Cancun 19.
Okay. Okay. Noted.
Next time he's getting AWOL.
Next time he's not getting leave.
Now, yeah.
Period. You want to leave next? What? What's that?
Man, he was already asking for more leave. He didn't even barely come back.
First episode back, and this guy wants to leave.
Can we take a weekend in November off? Because I want to go to Philadelphia, wherever he wants to go.
I'm trying to go to Philly, see some people. Shout out to my 2K friends. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Think RBA. Hey, look, for real. But look, I'm glad to be back with y'all. I missed y'all a little bit. Keyword, a little bit. Like, Uncle Punko, just that much. But anyway, get to the point. Said my catchphrase. Anyway, get to the point, though. Want to say today's episode is a very episode near and dear to all three of us. The episode's name is Athletes as Role Models. And I wanted to just give y'all a slight quote. And the quote is, adapt what is useful, reject what is useless, and use specifically what is your own. And that is by Bruce Lee. And all that is a culmination of everything that we talk about today. So the first thing I want to say is, do you believe athletes have a responsibility to maintain role model status on and off the field? Ken?
How are you going to make me go first?
Just threw it right at you.
Yeah, I threw it right at you, man.
So I think on and off the field are two very different things. I think every athlete to some extent is a role model to, especially the kids who are watching on the field or court, right? That's how you get kids that I want to be like Mike, right? Or they say, you know, I grew up studying, watching Iverson, mm-hmm. or, you know, I was watching, you know, whoever Kobe, their favorite athletes Mamba. Are. Now, I was trying to go outside of basketball but it doesn't matter what it is, field, court, whatever. But they emulate what they do
right.
on a court, especially the great ones, right? So I think being a role model on the court, for the most part, is a lot easier than being a role model off the court. Now, there's still some exceptions because you've got guys who still act up on the court or on the field. They will do some things that are, you know, not so role model-ish.
Wait, are you saying athletes misbehave while on the job?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Shocking.
You do that at work?
I mean, I still remember sitting in my dorm watching Malice at the Palace.
So there's still some.
But by and large, for the most part, it's, you know, watching their games and whatnot. Yeah. But when it comes to off the court, which I think is really what you're trying to get to the core of, is do they have a responsibility to be a role model to kids off the court? No. They don't. However, it comes with the territory, whether they want to or not. And what that means is that you have to understand that when you're given the privilege of being under the spotlight, and I'm sure for some, I mean, we don't know from firsthand experience, but I'm sure for some that it's a blessing and a curse to be under the spotlight, but you're under the spotlight 24/7, especially if you're one of the best. The better you are, the bigger and brighter the spotlight is. So whether you want to have a responsibility or not, your actions are going to be looked at and picked apart by everybody from media to fans to parents to kids alike. Now, personally, I think it's the parents' responsibility ultimately to be the role model and raise their kids appropriately. So if there's a particular athlete that they don't want their kid to emulate, well, then they need to monitor their child's intake of that athlete's, you know, social media. Maybe they just limit it to on the court. Like, there's a lot of things you could do. It's a lot harder to do in today's day and age with technology in and of itself.
Amen.
But I mean, at the end of the day, listen, when you come in and you're making millions of dollars, you're the face of a franchise in whatever sport, you know, you excel in, you're going to be under a microscope 24/7. Is it fair? No, it's not. But it comes with the territory, and it's one of those things where you just have to take the good with the bad.
Okay. Preach, brother, preach.
Okay.
Sir, so everything Ken said, right? Everything he said, and it comes down to one thing. Cha-ching! That's it. It's dollar-dollar bills. You are the face of a franchise. Ticket sales, jerseys, the economy around, everything. Everything revolves around. You are one big meal ticket for a lot of folks. Your folks, NBA folks, the owner, the vendors, a lot of folks. So yes, I don't think that it's their responsibility to be a role model. And I'm gonna take something what you said earlier. It's their accountability. They have to be accountable as role models. Now, these kids who are emulating, or generally, what is it, right? Yes, parents should monitor. However, comma, parents can only do so much. And when that kid steps outside his house and is with his friends, whose parents may or may not be monitoring, you'll be at school, wherever. Mm-hmm. Now, at that point, that's where now you're into this, you know, the free territory, where a kid can go do whatever now he wants and however he wants. And he's watching these athletes, and an athlete signed up to be in an adult world. The adult world comes with consequences. So, that being said, those consequences, those spotlights, if you don't want it, you signed up to be here. You signed up. Do you willingly sign that contract? Yes, it's not in your contract that you're going to be a role model, but you signed that contract to say, I'm going to carry this franchise name on my back for this city with responsibility. Or with some sort of accountability. I'm going to carry this name with me at a high standard, at a high level. So you kind of did, indirectly. Although that the private life, that aspect of your life, yeah, it should be private. But the as entertainers, celebrities, anyone in the public eye, I mean, you're fair game, especially nowadays. Even if you don't want it. And we do see athletes and entertainers lashing out, right? Paparazzi, and some of them don't know their lane. It's a lot of analysts on TV expressing wild opinions without facts. Just say it.
Your favorite, Stephen A. Smith?
Because it's clickbait. Again, comes around what? Cha-ching! So, you mean like, so you have to understand that, like, as an athlete, I'm entering this world where I don't get to control everything, but whatever I can, I'm gonna try. So that it's like a double-edged sword, right? So you gotta, as an athlete, figure that out and see where you stand in there and how you want to operate. And hopefully you have the right folks around you, because things can get messy real quick.
Yeah, and I mean, even, you know, when I say like it's not fair, right? So athletes should have the space to be themselves.
100.
They should have the space to be themselves, to do them, you know, but they have to understand, right, that you take the consequences that come from that.
Right.
And like you said, it's a matter of being mindful of not just the activities, but what's being captured and documented.
Right.
In this day and age where we can pull out our phone and click a button and start recording.
Right.
You know, yeah. And it's out there on the internet, and depending on how big you are, it might be viral before you're finished eating dinner at that point.
And it can be taken out of context.
Completely.
Completely out of context. And you would not even get the full picture. So now, like, that's another element of this. Mm-hmm. And mainstream media, new media tries to clean it up or give the full story. But mainstream media sometimes takes it and runs with it because they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do now?
So that's a great ending topic, because it leads right into the next one.
You're welcome.
You done?
I'm done. We should have the stop button here that when we finish.
Yeah.
We should. With that being said, how do you think that when somebody gets in controversy, how do you think they should handle it?
Delicately.
Like how
delicate. I'm joking.
Like how delicate we good. No, I was gonna say like how delicate we talking.
No, soft. I mean, no, they should they should handle it in a real way. Yeah. That's the thing is, I think from what I've seen, it's just my opinion and my opinion only. It's the only thing I can be held accountable to. But a lot of times when there's been controversial moments with athletes across a variety of different sports, it seems like everybody goes the PR route.
Oh yeah.
It's like, I got to protect my brand and I'll take accountability for it, but it doesn't always come off, with some exceptions, of course, as genuine. It just, you know, I'm sorry for my actions. It's like somebody wrote it, like a lawyer or somebody wrote it up and they either memorized or they're just reading it or they just typed it into a notepad. And posted it on
ChatGPT.
Or ChatGPT. I forget who it was that put out an apology and somebody said that it came from ChatGPT.
Was that recently?
It was recently. It was within the past couple months. It was a basketball. It was something in basketball. I don't remember what it was. But it's somebody like asked ChatGPT to write an apology for this. Yeah. And it was word for word. The same.
They didn't even bother
bar
editing.
For bar. Bar for bar. Bar,
word for word.
Bar for bar. Bar.
Word for word.
So I think, like, you know, it's just you got to be genuine about it and understand that words mean nothing without action. So you can issue apologies. So Ja Morant, I made a mistake. I'm going to be better. I'm going to do it again. I made a mistake. I'm going to be better. Something else happens again. All around the same topic. And then you get to the boy who cried wolf stage, where it's like, your words really don't mean a whole lot. So until you can back those words up with consistent, that's the key word, consistent action, I can't take it as genuine.
As my man to the left usually say, actions speak loudest. And yeah, you're welcome. I quoted you. Yeah, you're welcome. Anyway.
Bills in the mail.
I got you on PayPal. With that being said, though, actions speak loudest. And you know what? The way that we harped on Ja Morant, that's the least of our worries.
But see,
Kevin Porter, like,
no, but let's peel this back another layer. These are like 22-23 year olds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so when you're talking about coming in as role models, like, I don't expect very many outside of a few, because everybody's different, everybody comes from different backgrounds, but like generally speaking, I don't expect any 19, 20, 21, 22 year old to come into a grown man's world, an environment with making millions of dollars, access to a life that you could, like, most of us, including us sitting here right now, can't even fathom, and facts, make all the right choices all the time. Hey. Now, that's not to make excuses for some of the things, particularly with Kevin Porter or with the Ja, but it's saying we're so quick as a society to just cast judgment. We just cast judgment. Something happens, we cast judgment. Something else happens, we cast judgment, right? We don't give people the space to just fucking make mistakes.
I mean, well, my drum up is we give certain people space, but we don't give my people the space because we in that spotlight. Well,
especially, and then when you look at across the two biggest sports leagues in the United States, and they're comprised primarily of people that look like you, yeah. Statistically, it's gonna be like that.
What you mean, you?
Please elaborate.
Please elaborate. You know exactly what I'm talking about, Matthew. But But on the real, I mean, like, it's, we don't give these young men right. the chance to be young men. Because I wouldn't, I don't, I would have made my fair share of mistakes at 19, 20, 21 years old.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. Making multi-millions of dollars. Mm. I made dumb mistakes and I was broke. I made dumbass fucking mistakes and I was broke.
Yeah. Bro.
Like, I was making, like, I was just coming in, you know, just graduated. Mm. I'm making entry level fucking $38,000 a year. Like, I made dumb fucking mistakes then.
Hey, man, I was rich as making that kind of money. I made it at that point.
But still, like, I can't even imagine being 20 years old.
I know, yeah.
Having millions of dollars just dumped into your bank account.
And then the extension, he gets.
But even on top of that, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of millionaires. But think about this, life, right? You're making millions. You can, material needs are met, right? You can get anything whenever, however. Mm-hmm. But now you have millions of people attracted to you, giving you attention.
Mm-hmm.
That person, that NBA athlete, before the draft, if they weren't a college phenom, you're walking down the street, I don't, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Now suddenly you can't go to the mall anymore. Or whatever public right. space you can't go. So that's beyond the money. Right? That, how do you handle that? So, and you're not, no one teaches you. Is someone that giving you training on how to?
Well, they're doing better at that nowadays. They are. But if you think back, like,
right,
that's
right.
that's still like new within the past decade.
But to say that point you made about genuine, you make a mistake. Show me one person who has not made a mistake in their life, and I'll show you a saint.
A dog. I'm sorry. I know that was.
I said person.
I know that.
We don't let people become just human.
Yeah. We don't give them the space.
Just be a human. You are so quick to judge, right? As I say, we're so quick to judge, but if we just turn around and look at ourselves,
mm-hmm.
at our own life, right? What do they say? Misery loves company?
Amen to that.
We look at these people and we treat them like, oh, they're suddenly here. Right, but they're just like us, except that they have a talent and they're just on a bigger stage. Yeah, that comes with what it comes with. But from the other side of it, off the court, off the field, that's their personal, like, this is a personal life. Where they choose to take it to public, like, you know, a charity or this or that. Yeah, okay, you got some opinions about it, all right. But what they do inside their own home, with their own walls, with their own family, their own kids, means nothing to us. Shouldn't mean anything to us, but we are sure are, you know, interested.
It shouldn't, but when we talk about how they should handle it, so, like,
right.
I had the opportunity a few years ago, this is right before D was born. Mm. And I had the opportunity to party one night with a professional athlete.
Mm.
And he was in a contract year.
Oh.
So this is off season. Right. I think it was like March time frame. I remember. So it was like right before, I think, free agency was about to hit, before the draft and all that. And I mean, he was like, well, we could take some pictures. But at the club, because we had a little section with bottles, and he's like, no pictures with all of this.
Right.
Because he didn't want it to impact his negotiation, the contract negotiation. Like, and I understood that.
Right.
But it was like, okay, like, he was
conscious
enough. Yeah. But again, he had been in the league now for, you know, several years to the point where you hit the second contract and a little bit more wiser to what some of these other younger guys are doing.
Right. Just recently, what big huge news that just happened a few days ago that shook the NBA world?
The trade?
Damian Lillard, right? This guy left, went to Milwaukee. Yes, we are all click, share, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you watch they made like a little montage of his, the Blazers, I believe, of his, you know, highlights and then some of his quotes. And I was watching it, and for like literally half a second, a clip came up. It was of a fan holding a poster, and it said, "Thank you for being my role model."
Mm.
And that just like hit real, like, Right there. There it is.
Right.
Did Damian Lillard ask for that?
Nope.
No. But is he aware of it? Yes. He's got his Formula Zero training camp where he brings those kids in, gives them game, gives them really good game. So that's a guy right there who's taken it, embraced it, and has given back. Whereas others don't want to go that route.
Well, he also still has a space to be himself. He does music.
Right.
Et cetera.
Yeah, some of his bars are nice, by the way. I like Dame's rap. He's really good.
He's good, yeah.
He's good. But with that being said, though, so can you give any examples of other athletes that you think that make good role models?
So I'll say this. For myself, I don't think I've ever looked at any athlete as a role model for myself. I genuinely.
Hold that thought real quick. I'm sorry. Role model or influence? That's what I should have said that you see.
Role model, I would say. So for me, I've never looked at an athlete or anybody in the public eye and been like, oh, that's my role model. I want to be just like them. Like I get influences generally from people that I know and that I observe, and I'm able to see like, okay, I like how this person handles this or does this, or this leader, you know, to take it back to our workplace and the business world, like I like how this leader operates and they do this, this, and this, and oh, I don't like how they do this, this, and this, and that's how I'm gonna form my own personal, you know, leadership philosophy, coaching philosophy, whatever it is. You take little bits and pieces, but not like, oh, there's this one person who I just idolize and they're my role model. But having said that, however, I would say that if there was one role model that I would want my son to be able to follow in his footsteps, as corny as it might sound to some people, I'm gonna still say it anyway, it would be LeBron. Because just because of the fact that this man, I don't think we've ever seen anybody like LeBron in the history, and I don't know if we ever will. We might. But to have somebody who was so hyped coming into the professional sports world, like so hyped. Mm-hmm. He was hyped to the point where he was set up to fail, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the chosen
The hype train was set up for him to fail. And not only did he come in and succeed, but he crushed it for 20 plus years now and counting at this point to take almost every statistical record, right? He's done everything on the court that you could just possibly do other than go 6-0. But that's another conversation for another day. But he's done everything.
Yeah.
Leads in almost every important category. And oh, by the way, he brought his own boys, his own people, his own crew from high school, from where he grew up.
Kept it tight knit.
With no training on how to do this.
No blueprint.
His high school sweetheart came in while he was doing all this on the court, started a family, raised that family, has never been in trouble off the court. Like, I can't think of another person, or like, not to emulate everything he does. His biggest misstep is that he wore a shirt like this.
He wore a checkered shirt like this and
announced that he was moving teams in free agency. Like, this man had them so worked up because he chose to leave when his contract was up. He fulfilled every contract. How many times has KD asked for a trade? How many times has Kyrie asked for a trade? James Harden has asked for a trade. Everybody wants to get out. Now they're just, it's all about maneuvering to who gives me the best chance to win a chip. This man's played out every contract that he signed. Every single contract that he fucking signed. This man has.
Oh, you decided.
Oh, he got the king.
He decided.
All right, right here.
Let's put it right there.
Right. We're gonna leave that on there from now on. All right.
Yo, we gotta hang this up. So we.
Nah, I gotta go get a frame for it.
We do. But in all seriousness, I mean, like, that was the only misstep that people really have in his career, and I don't think it was. And while he did it, by the way, the whole event was a youth volunteer event. Donovan Mitchell was there.
Yep, I remember.
One of the youth at that point, right? So, like, even that in and of itself, he was still doing a good deal. Like, if my son, and hopefully he does, knock on wood, grows into being a professional athlete, like, that's, I want you to emulate that.
That's
that
the blueprint.
Level of sustained greatness.
Yeah.
I've been quiet a little bit. Let me speak on this one. So, I got a bunch of people. It's not just athletes, it's others, because I got to respect y'all two on the list because y'all big influences. I didn't say role models. They're big influences. Y'all big influences. You know, I love y'all. You know that. And I know y'all love me back. I'm about to sing Barney. I'm kidding, guys. But get to with that being said, though.
Oh, it's time to get out of here. So, it's a good episode today.
But with that being said, though, I'm going to give y'all five. And there's no actual number, but I'm just going to give y'all five. First one is Muhammad Ali. Second one is Bruce Lee.
Is that why we have posters?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
As in role models and everything, it sums up as into he didn't choose to be the activist, the icon, and the legend that he did. That was just him. He just decided to do that. Like, okay, not going to Vietnam. My memory is hazy right now. But not to go to Vietnam, and he said, "They ain't ever call me a nigga." Like, and he went to jail. Like, what, he was out the league? I mean, out of Boston for 5 years, two years. Came back, won the championship. That was it. That's all she wrote. And he's still fighting for African Americans and people everywhere around the world. So that makes a good role model then and there. And on top of that, LeBron James is heavily influenced by him. All right, and so is Bruce Lee. And Bruce Lee, what he did in his small circuit and what he was doing is trying to teach. When he came in, he was trying to teach African Americans, because that was his first student ever was an African American. Okay, you know where he got all that swag and the sunglasses and how he was walking and talking? He was up in Sacramento. He was learning that. All right, but the thing is about his influence and how he's a role model is he legitimately wanted to see the best in people, and he wanted to help everybody out. No matter what, he wanted to teach the game. He wanted to teach fighting. He wanted to teach philosophy. His biggest thing was philosophy. His wife got mad at him for staying in the parking lot for hours on end talking. Heck, you know, we had all the parking lot talks. Yep. Ken, you know about them too, because we stayed out there for hours on end. So with that being said, he created a whole unique network of people and trying to get martial arts involved into every aspect. And then when he got to the movies, so the movie, not Game of Death, End of the Dragon, I had to remember, he held production up for 2 weeks because they're like, nah, we just want you to fight. They literally told him to shut up and dribble. They legitimately told him to shut up and dribble.
So shut up and fight?
Yup.
Shut up and
like,
act?
Nah, he's like, nah, we're not going to do that. He halted production for 2 weeks. So with that being said, those are big influences for me. Other athletes besides LeBron James and those three, right now I can't think of none because all mine are just like.
Didn't this man just say he had a list?
Yeah, I'm waiting for this list.
I know. I said five, but it's just like those two.
So let's count.
One, two.
Right? How many did you give us? Two.
I gave you three.
Three. LeBron. Okay, we're missing two more.
Okay. Two more, I could say.
That beast thing got his brain all
fucked up. I got
stung. You good?
He's going to smack the beast thing. You got stung by a hornet?
Yeah, I did. God, man.
That must have been like this big. Must have been a bird.
Bruh, that joint was so small.
Was it that Jurassic Park hornet?
Nah, man. It's Jurassic Park hornet. But with that being said, I could say.
Come on, get to the point, man. Come on.
I was. Okay. I said with those three though, and even though I did say five, I could say Michael Jai White is another one, and I could also say Tony Hawk.
Why Tony Hawk?
Tony Hawk? Why not? He's just so rad, bro. He's always been cool, calm, and
that's what, true. But
he's been cool, calm, and what he did was he's also trying to like it's kind of like Rob Dyrdek and him. They were trying to build skate parks. Okay. They were trying to like. He necessarily didn't care about the money per se when he was doing the games. He wanted people to be involved, and the teams were calling people like, yo, you want to be in the game? You want to be in the game?
Okay.
It's kind of like when Fight Night come out, those games, you didn't see Floyd, you know, Mayweather. You didn't see a few people in those boxing games because they didn't want to give out the licensing because EA wasn't doing well. So that's another topic, but get to a point. Those five... Not necessarily all of them are the top, but yes, except for the first two.
Okay.
So, okay, Hat.
So I'm like Ken, right? I never looked at athletes or celebrities or influencers as people who really like, I wanted to, you know, mirror or imitate, like follow that path to become, you know, I wanted to emulate my life like that. Although I did want to take the pieces that they did well and implement those in whatever I was doing. So for example, like Michael Jordan influenced my game or my mentality, my approach towards a game.
Adapt what is useful.
Right. So that's how I took a lot. But my real role models and influencers are regular everyday people doing regular everyday things, but at a superhuman level. Example, teachers. Coaches, mentors, people who are giving back in just more than financial ways. You can always throw money at something, whatever, right? But you don't follow up on it, or you're not really giving your time back. You can always start a charity, but if you're not there, like, eh. Uh-huh. You can go open whatever, but if you're not following up and really there, you know, sleeves rolled up, down and, you know, grinding with the crew. Eh. So those are the people who are doing that kind of work. So a lot of my like role models are not even athletes or celebrities or people you won't even know like that. Like, so like a lot of like, let's just give a random example, right? Mother Teresa. That's a role model.
Okay.
That to me is a respect worthy role model. Right, you may not know this, may not be a very popular name amongst some of the, you know, the Western culture, but like Bhagat Pooran Singh is a huge, huge respected figure. Uh-huh. Not an athlete. He started his own, basically, he came from nothing, had dirt poor, broke, came back, and he really, well, he started a school for the handicap, but with no backing. No, nothing. And today there's a big institution from nothing where he gives back, and it doesn't matter what disability you have, you can go there and they will accept you and they'll take care of you for free. They will treat you for free. Right? That to me is a role model. So I don't look at celebrities, these people in your mainstream media as whatever, man. That's cute. That's nice. So sorry to throw your
No, you didn't.
That was me coloring outside the lines as I usually do.
I wanted to color outside the lines, but I decided to stay in this time.
So, to me, those are my role models. Like everyday people doing everyday things, but at those amazing levels that I can never even fathom getting there. But I can try, mm-hmm. Right? We can try our little bit. So
with that being said, I think we concluded the episode for today.
Did we?
I think we did.
So before we conclude, though, I think there's one more that we got to talk about, maybe even two.
Mm.
Especially when we talk about how, so one of the topics that we talked about was how they should handle it. And I think both of the two that I'm thinking of might be a little controversial.
Oh, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
But I'm going to go there anyway.
Let's do it, man. That's what we do.
So the first one, you know, I got to go there because it's ATL all day, every day. But you look at somebody, or I look at somebody like Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Where we look for redemption stories.
Yes.
Where something happened, something awful happened that he took accountability for.
Yes.
He never tried to say it wasn't him. He didn't have any part of it. He took accountability for it, went through what he went through, went bankrupt, did his time, came out, thankfully got the opportunity to continue his athletic career, but more importantly, it was all the work, and he didn't publicize it a lot. Unless you really followed him, he didn't really publicize it a lot, but he started working for advocacy groups. Ooh, had to get that one out there. I'm feeling like Matt now. Your hornet sting must be transferring over here and get all that aura away.
Yeah, I'm done. Thanks.
But he started working with those groups to raise awareness, right, to raise money to fight, you know, combat dogfighting, right? Mm. And then worked his way back to now working with Fox Sports as a
analyst,
as an analyst and whatnot, and just happy to see that he was able to redeem himself from everything, because that could have been like he could have went to that place and then spiraled even further.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, he didn't. And so when we talk about how they handle controversial situations, I think that's a great example of, like, let me take accountability. Actions are more important than words. So let me come out here. I still want to pursue my athletic career, but I'm also going to work to redeem myself from what the public perception of me is. Now, and there's still some public perception of him that will never change. That's why I said it's going to be a little controversial. Yeah, there's going to be people who hear this, they're going to be like...
Yeah, you're right about that stain.
Like, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, no, Michael Vick, no, because what he did was horrible.
Right.
Right, and it did. It was horrible. It was a horrible thing to participate in, but he did his time, right? That's what our justice system is supposed to be for. It's supposed to redeem people, to make them productive members of society.
Right.
And seemingly it has done that. I haven't heard anything negative from him since.
Right.
So I think we need to celebrate those.
Absolutely.
Stories.
So, and look, and just to, can I piggyback off of that?
I don't want
to
piggyback.
There's one, another person. This guy, Kobe Bryant. He made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But he worked on getting it, rectifying it. So, I mean, yeah, that was, you know, and however you may feel or think about it or feel about it, there's still that mark that we all, it's there, but that's not the first thing that comes up anymore.
No, it's not.
Unless you have really strong feelings of one way or the other, you can't let it go. That's different. Like Michael Vick, same thing. Like, it's there. The scar is there, but it's healed. The wound, you'll see the scar, but it's moved forward.
That's a bar. The scar is there, but the wound has healed.
That's right, and that happens.
That's a bar.
That's a bar.
And that comes with time. Time heals all wounds, as they say, right? But the scar remains. So, we as a society, again, show me a human who hasn't made a mistake, and I'll show you a saint.
Yeah.
So, same thing.
Man, we're doing redemption. The first person I had to think of, Iron Mike Tyson.
There you go. Look, like, great one.
I never forget when I was a kid, I had to ask my mom, I'm like, he's beating up girls now? Because if y'all don't remember, he did he was doing boxing, and when he couldn't get back into like the spotlight and everything, he decided to do like, I think like classes or something like that, and he was just boxing women. And it was like, why is he doing that? And now, look, literally 20 years later, you see this guy that's calm, cool, collective. Mm-hmm. Like, he's literally like, I was bad. I mean, I could do the voiceover, but y'all know that. But I was bad. I legitimately was
right. And he accepted, he owned it.
Yeah. Accountability,
right?
Yep.
Like, Kobe, the incident, he was a huge champion for WNBA. Huge. So now what do you say about that, right? It's the redemption. So Mike, these are all great examples, and those are the blueprints, though, that athletes who mess up now, if anything, reach out to them. They want to help you. Right? Let go of the pride. Like, even if you reach out, whatever, private, doesn't matter. Just reach out and ask for help. You're never too big to ask for help. No, especially someone who's gone through it and been at that level. That's the guy you want to reach out to.
So, can I leave y'all with one more?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Particularly, this one surrounds legacy. And far too often, we have the tragic legacies when somebody has done something terrible and, you know, their career, their life
right.
kind of goes down the negative path.
Right. Like malice and
where they fall off. Right. But then there's some, and one particular that I want to bring up, that literally sacrificed their athletic career for a legacy of being a role model, or really an influence, or to change for the greater good. And that's, again, going to be met with some controversy, but I don't care. This is our podcast. I'm going to talk what I want to talk.
Mm.
And that's Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. Because when you think about what this guy went through, that he literally sacrificed his career. Yeah.
In his athletic prime.
I mean, he's still trying to get in this to this day, but it's been 7-8 years. Like, he's blackballed, point blank. Period. Yeah. There may be proof one day. There may not be proof one day, but you can't tell me he's not blackballed. He is blackballed. He sacrificed his career to raise awareness, to fight for the rights of people in his country, particularly, as Matthew said, people in this country that look like him, right? Yeah. All starting from one simple act of kneeling during the national anthem,
right,
which somebody from the military told him to do.
Thank you.
I know that's a point of clarification. That's he talked to a literal Green Beret who played for the Seahawks, said, I want to do something. What can I do that's not disrespectful to the military? And he said, why don't you take a knee? And obviously we know that became highly politicized. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into that whole debate. But the point being is that when push come to shove, he didn't back down. He stood on his principles, he stood on his morals, he stood on his values, despite the I can't even fathom or begin to imagine the amount of pressure that was being placed on him from all angles.
Oh yeah,
right? Because you can't go anywhere. He's like 6'7",
right?
6'7", chiseled. Like, you can't go anywhere without being noticed.
Yeah.
And now you've sparked a nationwide political debate, and lost your career in the same time. But if you fast forward a few years, and what happened? What wasn't cool then is suddenly cool now.
Yeah, see,
not the kneeling, but we're gonna put end racism
in the end zone,
and we're gonna put stuff in. I mean, all the activism stuff that he really was pushing hard, and I would say trailblazing. It's not like he was the first activist, so don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody to come into comments and say he was not the first activist. Like, of course, we've got a poster, right? But I'm saying, like, at that point in time, like, he came at it and went hard, and we didn't quite have that at that time. And now all of a sudden, a few years later, now activism is like the end thing. But yet, my man still can't get a job playing the sport that he loves. Unlike Vic,
right,
who got his second chance, got to continue. Cap didn't get that love. And I think it's wrong. I don't think it's right that he didn't get that love. And that's why I just want to say a huge amount of respect that I have for him being willing to not cave and sacrifice his athletic legacy for a greater purpose.
Oh yeah.
Sacrifice his athletic legacy for a greater purpose.
So, since you bring it up that topic, I apologize.
No, go ahead.
Since you bring it up, that with that being said, you know who else I think of? The brother's name, as soon as I'm about to say it, just went right out of my head. Basketball player from the 90s. The one that was a Muslim and was
playing. Oh, Rauf?
Yes.
Muhammad Abdul Rauf?
Yep. Haven't heard from him since, but hey, look, he sparked something and they were like this. Hey, look, we appreciate it. We do not want you to.
I think he played in the Big Three.
I think he does.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah.
He, actually, I'm gonna be honest. He does, cause I.
And he was nice, actually. He was pretty nice.
Yeah, I believe it. Any NBA player that makes it, they're probably usually nice.
But even that, it comes back to, again, as a society, we don't give people the space to be themselves.
Right.
Everybody's got to be an image of what other people think they should be, and what other people think they should say, and how other people think they should act.
Right.
And when we make mistakes. Oh, you're gonna get crucified. You're getting canceled.
But I gotta step in on that because that's kind of like false.
It's not like, false.
No. We don't, right? But there's some groups. Actually, one group I can think of that does get the space to do that. They get to be anything they want. They get to do anything that they want. Yeah, I'm gonna say it. I mean, white people. I'm just gonna straight up say it.
Talking about privilege.
Yeah, straight up white privilege. Like, dude, like, y'all, no disrespect, bro, but it's just like.
Why you gotta look at me?
What are you trying to say?
Yeah. Excuse me, sir.
But with that being said, it's just like, why is it? Like, why? Like, every, God bless it, I'm not gonna curse, but like, every time, like, a black athlete does something wrong, or a white one does worse, we don't really hear about the white ones unless they like murdered the whole family. Like the only person I could think of right now, because my stats is like Chris Benoit, where everybody like freaked out like, dang, he did that. And but you don't hear about like when a brother does one thing wrong, and I mean like a slight thing wrong, it's not just a slap on the wrist, it's a whole like, oh, you lost your Gatorade deal, you lost your shoe deal, you started walking for peace, up, them shoes are gone. Like, it's just the notion,
the ramifications are
ramifications are harder for us and anybody person of color. But the thing is, the notion of like the human, like, I wish media and fans, we could just like just go ahead and obliterate it all and just go ahead and come back being, just let everybody be human. Like y'all already saying, we all agree upon just let everybody be human, but treat everybody also the same. Cause I would love to see, like, when Tom Brady like, y'all remember when Tom Brady not the tuck rule, nothing, it's something like when he had a MAGA hat, they actually had a problem with that. Some people had a problem with that, but they didn't harp on it.
No, but it's like mm-hmm. So the problem is what you're trying to say, I think you're trying to say, is that it's systemic. Right, we can't just blow it up and
I said that,
but it's systemic.
Yeah, it is.
Because using Tom Brady as the example, when Tom Brady gets fired up on the sideline and he's yelling and cussing out his teammates, what it's is passion. He? Passionate.
Yeah.
Right? But if that were Colin Kaepernick doing the same exact thing, right? Oh, he's got anger problems. He's a problem. He's a cancer to the team. That's what they'll say in the media. Right. It's a systemic problem between not only society and hundreds of years of history, but also the leagues that are primarily made out of rich white billionaires, cha-ching, 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 right? The good old boys club that exists, and that the league is primarily composed of African-American players, right? So until the composition of ownership changes to be able to change some of the systemic, and not just ownership, but the league offices themselves, it's going to continue to be a systemic problem. You're not going to be able to just blow it up and everybody be human. But that's the point where I think you and I are in agreement that we should be able to have the space. It shouldn't matter whether you black, blue, red, purple, yellow, green, gray, whatever you want to be, right? You could identify with whatever color you want that day. It doesn't matter. If you make a mistake, you should be able to have the space to make a mistake. Now, however, comma, if you keep making the same mistake over and over and over again, okay, well, people's patience is going to wear thin with that. But to make one mistake, some people don't even make a mistake, and they just go dig something that they said when they're 10 years old, 11 years old, off of Twitter, and they get canceled off of that.
Right.
I mean, without even having made a current mistake, just somebody got bored one day and said, let me just go down this rabbit hole, see what I can find.
Yep, pretty much.
Just to put negativity out into the world.
So, I think to answer your first ultimate question, I think everybody has a responsibility or to be accountable to be a role model in society. Not just athletes, not just anybody, everybody does. And if we treat it that way, we're all equal now. Right? We all are part of the planet. We're just, it's not, there's no factions anymore. Just do your part.
I think that's a mic drop, but we just
Like,
we just dropped that. That's a mic drop end to the episode right there.
That's a good one. It's just like the as soon as you said that, just there's something I learned in the last few years, and I don't know if y'all two noticed that with me, but moments. See, everybody has a moment, right? But do we let it impact us all the time? Nah, it's just, hey, it happened. Continue moving on.
Matt's got a lot of moments.
Apparently.
Ooh. Yeah, that coaching job, that was a huge moment.
but I think. This was fun though. This was good. Like, this was a topic I think got deep.
It's a deep topic.
It's a deep topic, and it got a little, you know, but ruffle some feathers.
I'll be interested to see one day when we're able to interview some athletes what their perspective is.
Yeah.
Do they even think about it?
Right.
How they approach it. Makes for some good topics.
You know, he'd be great for a role model episode.
Just by the look on his face, I can just tell that it's about to be some nonsense.
Trying to brace myself.
We love him. All three of us do. Marshawn Lynch.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That'd be a great episode. They'd be like, "How you feel? Hey, cuz, everything feel cool, man." I'll be like, "Yes, got it."
All right, man.
Anyway,
you want to bring us out?
And now, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you tuning in this week. Thank you. Have a blessed week. See you next week.
Peace.